God releases the spirits of prayer, worship, intercession during Eucharist, and the ordinary informed believer is Christ's priesthood. This is a part of being best of the best. So we're coming now into the actual training here. I'll read it for you again. God releases the spirits of prayer so that there can be a prayerfulness come over you by God. You know? Also, worship can come over you. Also, intercession can come over you. It should have a comma between the two. During Eucharist, and the ordinary informed believer, in other words, someone who knows about the Eucharist, is Christ's priesthood. And we see this in Revelation, John 20 and 6. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. In other words, Christ's resurrection is the first resurrection, and the second death has no power. In other words, the mortal death. The first death was your death with Christ. The second death is your physical death. It has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. Now you can think that, well, that only belongs to the clergy, but actually what we're seeing more and more is that an informed believer receives this same capability. And you're going to experience that here. I've taken this into Pentecostal churches and Lutheran gatherings and all sorts of different Christian fellowships. And God and the Holy Spirit and Christ turn up exactly for all. So there is this element of priesthood that is in the believer. Part 1, imparting blessing prayer. And a little scripture here, James 5:15, and the prayer will save prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. If you take into account the Eucharist, the Holy Communion, there is some extraordinary power that's going on here, because this is something that Christ himself created. It's not an adaptation of a humanly contrived thing. Christ himself created this. This is my body, this is my blood. Eat this, drink this in remembrance of me. And in this way, he is coming to the believer to partake of this. And it's very prayerful and it's very worshipful in the structure of it all. So I've got a prayer here, you know, the prayer of faith. If you're going to do Eucharist, it is a Eucharist of faith. You know, you really are pouring it out there in faith. And according to your faith, Jesus turns up. So here's the heart of prayer and worship, or one of many in Jesus' words. John 17:17-21 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So you see there that this prayer statement, this declaration of Jesus, that we are coming into Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the Father, that they may be one in us. They may be in us. And so the heart of prayer and the heart of worship is this fellowship in the Son and in the Father, and it's that from which we minister the Eucharist. Again, the heart of prayer and worship, the glory that you have given me. So again, heart of prayer and worship, John 17:25-26, O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know you that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. So you see the heart of prayer and worship, and the heart of it is in Jesus, and we see it in his prayer that's been recorded in some manner. So some things we want from the Eucharist. We want an intimate experience of the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing as he created it for the sake of communion with those who believe and are with him and with the Father. We want Christ-centered authority. We don't want human authority. We want a powerful faith reinforcement. We want empowering knowledge. In other words, we want the Word to be really empowered in it all. We want prayer that is blessed. We want worship that is acknowledged by God. And we want confirmation of Father fusion. At least we want these kinds of things. All right, the instructions are to form pairs and be together so that you can then follow this Holy Communion service. And each pair will comprise person A and B. And person A will be the minister and administers the Holy Communion. Person B will receive the Holy Communion and verify to person A that the grace of Jesus Christ is imparted by person A during the relevant events of the service. So, you're in pairs, and
you can look after Zach. Mm.
And person A is going to be the person who's going to be administering it. All right, so let's do that now.
Okay.
The instructions here, and person B is going to be not. Person B is not reading the instructions. Person B is getting from person A. Mm-hmm. And so if person A is saying a certain prayer or a certain thing to do, you're focused here on person A. So person A, as you're reading, getting the instructions and seeing what you need to do, then get that and then come back and deliver it to person B, because you're delivering Christ in a Holy Communion manner. Okay? For the purposes of the training, we pick up the Eucharist service, which is, as I said, it's a Church of England service that I've used for this instance, but very similar to a Catholic service. We pick it up at the preparation stage of self-examination in the Holy Communion service. The text of the service is extracted from the Anglican form and is used solely as a vehicle whereby to formally engage the Lord Jesus Christ and to encounter the blessing he himself administers during the Holy Communion Eucharist service, an encounter which he himself has established so as to regularly impart blessing to his believing children. So the idea behind the whole Eucharist is that Christ himself wants a vehicle whereby he will come in, and he will come in through person A to be a blessing to person B. And it's not just a blessing, but an entry into and a communion in spirit. So spirit and body and soul are now in communion with the person of Jesus Christ himself. So the first one, part one, is preparation. The minister stands at the table, so you'd be at a communion table, and says, so I'll take you through a couple of pages so you can see where you're going on this. So person A is going to be saying this to person B. Then there is a continued preparation, and then there's a pause for self-examination at the bottom, where I am the one pausing for the self-examination.
As in B?
B, person B. Then there is a confession, and we're all going to be saying this. Well, actually, person A should do the self-examination too. But so person A should have done the self-examination before ever coming to the table.
Mm.
So all say the general confession. And after that, person A is now going to release an absolution. So for person B, you want to now actually experience, does the absolution of Christ really come upon you? Yes or no? Because that's the blessing that's coming at this point. So this is the way that it's working. And then person B is going to confirm, you can see here, person B is going to confirm whether or not absolution has been received from the Lord through the word of the minister, person A. After confirmation of absolution is confirmed, continue. If not, investigate the cause and try it again before continuing. So, in the saying of this, we're expecting that Christ is going to be with person A, is going to honour person A's word in the liturgy, and act in response to that. And I, as person B, ought to feel that, ought to know that. It's not just something that is said and done, it's something that should be felt. Okay, so this is where we're going. All right, so when you're ready, you know, give yourself plenty of room and...
We all speaking together?
No, it's totally individual.
Okay.
Totally individual. Okay. So who's person A over there?
And then once we're done, then what are we doing?
Then you'll swap around. Swap roles.
You're
not yet coming to... You're coming to this, okay? You don't need to be holding it right now.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to be coming to that. Right. So if you're person B and you're going to be receiving, like I'm receiving from my person A, turn around now and face your person A and let that start to begin.
Well, at least we've got the peace of the Lord with us.
All right. We're beginning at part one, the preparation part one.
It's crazy when you feel when you just come into you.
Pardon?
So for one, when you just feel when you welcome him and he just comes into you.
Yeah. Just read this off now. Yeah.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, we who come to receive the Holy Communion of the Body and Blood of our Saviour Christ, can come only because of His great love for us. In order to raise us from the darkness of death to everlasting life as God's sons and daughters, our Saviour Christ humbled Himself to share our life and to die for us on the cross, in remembrance of His fellowship with us, and as a promise of His presence and love, Jesus instituted this holy sacrament, which we are now to share. To eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord, let us examine ourselves and amend our lives. Come to the Lord's table with a forgiven and forgiving heart and with steadfast faith. Above all, give thanks to God for His love towards us in Christ Jesus. We ask for your true assessment of us, so as to bring us back to you. Let us confess our errors privately to the Lord our God.
Thank you, Father.
Mm.
All then say this general confession. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you made all things, and you call everyone to be responsible for their relationship with you. Sorrowfully, we admit that we have relaxed our responsibility in what we have thought, said, and done. We turn from our sins and repent of them. We receive your mercy for us, most merciful Father. By the works of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we receive your forgiveness for all that is past. By your grace and power, we are made able to serve and please you in new life. To your honor and glory, to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now the minister is going to stand, person A is going to stand and pronounce the absolution, which is God's release of that. And person B is going to confirm, does that actually happen?
Mm.
So person B, you're now saying this to person A. Person A, you're now saying this to person B with God's authority to forgive sins. Person B, you're going to find out, are you indeed forgiven?
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who has promised to forgive the sins of all who turn to Him with faith and repentance, have mercy on you, pardon and free you from all your sins, strengthen you in doing good, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah? Yeah? Good. So, person A, you know that you have just spoken something and God has honoured an absolution through you.
Okay? I noticed with the confession, I had a sense, a conviction of sinfulness. It was something, you know.
That's good.
Quite different.
Okay, let's move on here to the preparation. This is the sign of peace. I think you're familiar with this one from the rehearsal. All right, let's just move on through this.
Lord Jesus Christ, you say to your apostles, I leave you peace, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and grant us the peace and unity of your kingdom where you live forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you, Zoe. Now,
let us offer each other a sign of peace.
Peace of the Lord be with
peace
you.
Peace of the Lord be with you.
Peace of the Lord be with you.
And with you also.
Peace of the Lord be with you.
Peace of the Lord be with you, will you?
Amen.
Peace of the Lord be with you.
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 Peace of the Lord be with you. Why are you laughing?
Amen. The joy of the Lord, girl. After the sign of the peace of God, we are now starting to introduce the remembrance of Jesus. So this is part two, the remembrance of Jesus. So let's just start that. You don't necessarily need to say the names of the scriptures that are here, but just say the text itself. Mm. You might, it's up to you, but you might.
Listen to the welcoming words our Saviour Christ says to all who turn to him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life.
I threw it up when I read scripture.
Saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. Mm.
Hear what the Apostle Paul says, the same, sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear what the Apostle John says, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Now, so far we have had a time of contrition where we're coming around the table and we've cleared our hearts and God has given us a clearing of our hearts. We have then taken the peace of God into the whole community. We've now heard from the Word of God itself how Christ is welcoming us to this table. So now, in a sense, the preparation has finished and we're now coming into welcoming Jesus among us and then the sharing of the bread and the juice of bread and the wine. So at this point here, you're going to, person A, go up there and take a piece of bread that, or two pieces of bread, one for yourself and one for, actually two pieces of bread and two cups. that you're going to serve to yourself and to person B. And take those back and put them nearby you so that you can actually use them. You might like to put them, you know, on the bench beside you there or the table beside you. So to go and get yourself two pieces of bread and two cups. There are other ways of administering the Holy Communion, of course, and that is that you might have a cup and you both dip the bread into the cup. I'm going to pop those just down there. Yeah.
We start with the bread.
Pardon?
We start praying.
Yeah, you're going to start with the bread and start with the bread. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
So this is the I'll show you this kind of a system. This is the one that the Lord Jesus gave me, as much as that young Russian lady who has been painting pictures of Jesus. This is the way that Jesus suggested for me to do it. And that was, if I lift up the bread like this, he said, just invite me into the bread. And so I would hold it up like this on a plate, and I would say, Lord Jesus, please come on it. Lord, don't come into this yet. Let it be her, my partner's opportunity to do this. Come into the bread, and I would wait until he comes into the bread. And this, you'll get this, you'll see this, you'll know this, that now he's in the bread. And now you know that if you eat that, you and he are partaking in spirit together through a very physical thing. And that physical action gives you an encounter with Jesus in a way that doesn't happen if you're just in meditation or just in spirit. And after that, I then say, and Lord Jesus, come into this wine or this juice, come into it so that, and there is the scripture here, so that we can partake of this according to your word in scripture, and that it's real for us, that we're encountering you, Lord Jesus, like that. And I wait for him to come in there, and he comes into it. And Catholic Church and Orthodox Church probably say that that has now turned into the blood of Jesus. For me, it's still juice, it's still wine. But Christ is in it, and it is now a vehicle for receiving Christ into me through a material vehicle. So this is what you're encountering now, and I'd like you to do that for one piece of bread for yourself and for person B, and one cup for yourself and one cup for person B. So you're doing this together.
So we're both doing this now.
Person A is the minister. But person A is doing, yeah, both of them. And so you're going to break them at some point. So you might like to simply, don't you just want to get a little, just empty out the chip bowl or the chocolate bowl. Yeah. And just use that so that as you lift this up, you can yes. Do it all at once. But do the bread separately from the wine. And okay, so first of all, you're now going to ask the Lord Jesus to come into the bread, and person B is going to confirm whether or not Jesus came in. So you're not going to look at the bread after, you're going to actually, person B, you're going to watch the whole thing, and you're going to be sensitive to that. Mm-hmm. And you'll notice that Christ comes in. And while some churches say we want the Holy Spirit on it, that's very nice, I agree with that. But how Jesus showed it to me is Jesus himself wants to come into the bread, and Jesus himself wants to come into the wine. The Holy Spirit will be here, and the Holy Spirit will be an actor in all of that. But so will Christ. Remember, if we love Jesus, the Father and the Son come make their home with us. So just do this page, please.
Lord Jesus, will you come into this bread?
Yes, Lord Jesus, come into
this bread.
Read the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
And make it so that when we eat it.
And make it so that when we eat it, we partake of your body.
Yes. Now watch. I want to confirm that he's there. Yeah, you can sense it, can't you? Mm. Yeah, presence of Jesus there. All right, we all confirmed?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very real, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the next, you can put that down and now lift up the cup. So you can put the two cups on a plate or lift them up just with your hands if you like. And again, these are the kinds of things you're saying, Lord Jesus, come into the juice and make it so that when we drink it, we partake of your blood as you desire.
Lord Jesus, will you come into this juice and make it so that when we take it, we partake?
According to your desire. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. We got confirmation on that? Lovely. Now, in part four, declaring Jesus' words, the minister lifts up the bread which Christ Jesus has entered and says, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread in his hands, he gave it you thanks and broke it. Then you break that bread, minister, person A, break it. Then he gave it to his disciples saying, take and eat, this is my body which is given for you, do this in remembrance of me, and then put the bread down. Then continuing, while holding up the cup, you then say, in the same way after the meal, Jesus took the cup in his hands, he gave you thanks, then he gave it to them saying, drink from this all of you, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for the forgiveness of, and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. We're going to go through this one page at a time. Then the minister is going to lift up the bread and say, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, because now you're saying it to us, you're declaring, this is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, keep your body and soul for everlasting life. Take and eat this, remembering that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Person B saying, Amen. Then person A lifts up the wine or the juice and says, the blood, and so now you're showing it. You know, like you showed the bread, you're now showing it. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was poured out for you. Keep your body and soul for everlasting life. Drink this, remembering that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Person B says, Amen. At this point, now, you're ready to serve it. And when you serve it, before you serve it, hang on. You now do serve it. Yeah. You serve it, and person B is now going to confirm whether or not Christ has come inside or not. And Christ in the bread and in the wine, so Christ will obviously come inside of you. So it's a fairly easy thing to confirm. But you want to be able to confirm that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's see. I'm taking it back here. I think this is really important what you're going to do. I think you say this. You hold up the bread and you say this. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ is given to you. Da-da-da-da-da. And then you serve it. And then you're going to come onto the next page. And you're going to do...
Do we do Jesus coming into the wine? We haven't.
You've done that already.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
And so you're going to now lift up the wine and you're going to say the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is poured out for you, and you can then serve that as well. Because we don't have a very special service. Unless we want to do it, I haven't got any liturgy here, but in point 11, when the minister serves the bread and the wine juice, normally it's a very simple thing. So we might do it that way. We'll do it this way. When it comes to this page, you're then going to serve it. Okay? And you're going to serve it with the body of Christ, the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Person A is going to say that. We call on them?
Yeah.
All right. So then person B, yeah, that's what keeps it really simple. Person B can then confirm in taking the body of Christ, in taking the blood of Christ, has Christ come in, yes or no? That's what we're looking for. We're looking for the confirmation of it. So we're going to serve it only at point 11, all right?
Okay, yeah.
All right, good. So let's come back then to the starting of this. So Jesus has come into the bread, and you're in the bread and the wine, Lord, in the bread and the juice, Lord. Righto. So now you're going to declare the words of Jesus. Righto. And you're going to, person A, you're going to lift up first the bread, and you're going to do this. Then you're going to put it down, then you're going to lift up the wine and declare the wine.
Yeah.
Okay? Or the juice, rather. All right. Oh, let me hold that for you so that you can actually lift it up when you want to break it.
Yeah. I'm starting from the
top. Starting from the top. Starting from, on the night that he was betrayed.
Do I have to read that?
Yeah.
On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread in his hands. He gave thanks. He gave you thanks and broke it.
Continue.
Take and eat.
No, take.
Huh?
Yeah.
Take.
Keep saying it. Then he gave it to his disciples.
Then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Then put that down. Then continuing, going to hold up the cup.
Then continuing, whilst holding up the cup.
No. That's what you do, and then you say in the same way.
Okay. Maybe like quotation marks.
In the same way, after the meal, Jesus took the cup in his hands. He gave you thanks. Then he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Amen. So now you're going to lift up the bread, person. Now you're going to lift up the bread, and this is the start of serving it. You're going to lift it up and simply declare, "This is what it is." Then you're going to lift up the wine and declare, "This is what it is."
Mm.
And then you're going to serve it.
Okay.
Okay.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you. Keep your body and soul for everlasting life. Take and eat this, remembering that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving.
Amen. Now separately, just put down the bread and lift up the juice now.
The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was poured out for you, keep your body and soul for everlasting life. Drink this, remembering that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful.
Amen. Now you would lift them up. You know, you put the juice and the bread on the same plate in this instance, if you'd like. And now you're going to serve person B. But I would recommend that first of all you take it yourself. And as you take it yourself, when you take the broken bread, you say to yourself, "The blood of Christ," and you take it yourself. Then you take the cup and you say, "The blood of Christ," and you drink the juice. Then you're going to serve person B. Okay? So I'm going to hold this while you do that. You're going to serve yourself first of all. The body of Christ, both of those. Yeah.
The body of Christ.
And eat it. And then the juice, the blood of Christ. This is the blood of Christ.
The blood of Christ.
Now person B, you're going to receive it now. And you're going to confirm that Christ came into you in this Holy Communion. And there are two ways of receiving it. You can receive it in your hands like this, or you can open your mouth and person A can just put it straight on your tongue. And I like that because it just comes in straight from Christ.
The body of Christ. The blood of Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Mm.
So, person B, you're going to confirm whether or not Jesus Christ entered you with the bread and the juice. I would certainly confirm that.
Mm.
You notice how it's the presence of Christ has deepened the entire gathering.
Yeah.
Yes.
After the supper, the minister, person A, is now going to pray to the Lord Jesus, for the Lord Jesus to leave the remnant of the bread and restore the remnant particles, the little bits left over, restore them to their earthly elements so that they might be handled respectfully. In other words, you want to have Jesus come off that which is left over so that you can just treat it as original bread and it disposed in that way. And then wait a few moments for the Lord to do this. As you do this, person B is going to confirm, has the Lord left the crumbs of bread, yes or no? And you will observe that. All right, so let's do that now. You're going to really, you're going to hold up the bread plate and see the little crumbs on it and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's still got Christ in it.
Well,
Lord Jesus, will you leave the remnant of the bread and restore them?
Restore them to
their earthly elements so that they might be handled respectfully.
There. Feel that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's gone.
Sure.
Yeah, Christ has left them.
Yeah.
Good. All confirmed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. Now the same thing over the
wine.
The same thing over the wine or over the juice. Which is 13.13.
Yeah.
Okay, say it.
Lord Jesus, will you leave the remnant of the juice and restore them to their earthly elements so that they might be handled as well?
Thank you, Lord.
They might be handled respectfully.
Yeah, I confirm that.
Can you explain why we do that last part?
Yeah, because you don't want Christ who has come into the bread and Christ who has come into the wine or the juice, you don't want him then to be forgotten about. You want to tidy it up. You brought him in,
yep.
Now you're asking him to leave that so that you can actually deal with the leftover. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. And Jesus asked me to do that, you know, which is nice. The priests might wipe out the cup or eat all the bread or whatever, but or keep some of it later for sacred viewing, but Jesus said, if you want to, and sometimes I have left it there, and we've kept it there on retreat, we've kept it in place so that you can really come into the presence of the Lord in the bread.
Mm.
It's a very nice thing to do, draws an end to it. Yeah, that's cool. It's in me, it's not around, scattered around as crumbs. So, the next part, we're now coming to the blessing that's there, and then we're going to come into the closing of it all. So this is you, minister, just have a read through it first of all and see what blessing you're going to be saying, and then when you're ready, say it to person B, and person B is going to confirm whether or not that blessing actually comes upon you.
May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, here it comes. Thank you, Lord.
And with you always.
Yeah. Yeah? Yeah, you get this real soaking of blessing, don't you? Then this is something that doesn't really happen in churches, but it certainly happens in the Father Fusion family that we have travelled with in the last couple of courses. So the minister, person A, might like to invite people to do this. They might like to say, let us all glorify God by a glory be. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And so in this way, you can sit down now, in this way we have completed the essentials of the liturgy. Having completed the essentials of the liturgy, the next part of the exercise, of course, is to reverse the roles so that you each get the experience of being someone serving it, someone receiving it, somebody imparting it, and somebody confirming the impartation of it.